Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Leave it. We got breaking moves in the NBA right now. Players on the run. How did it all happen? What went into it? And where do we go from here? It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You just heard it in the SportsCenter update. James Harden now headed to the Brooklyn Nets, forming one of the biggest big threes we've seen in quite some time in the NBA with Kyrie Irving and with Kevin Durant. And for more on how this all went down, we're going now to the Goodyear Hotline to welcome in Tim McMahon, our ESPN NBA reporter. And Tim, you've been doing so much great work around this story, around James Harden for so long. So I'm curious, from what you've heard, how did this come together? How did we get to the finish line on Harden to the Nets?
Yeah, you know, obviously there have been discussions for months now, and Harden ended up getting his wish. He wanted to go to Brooklyn, and ultimately it came down to the really historic draft compensation that the Nets were willing to put on the table, and that's something that didn't develop until the last few days. I'm not sure if that was totally on the table even until today. And, you know, you would have to think the uncertainty with the Kyrie Irving situation influenced the Nets, because, look, Kevin Durant, whether he's coming off an Achilles or not, is a historic, you know, he's an NBA legend in his prime. If you have Kevin Durant, you have a chance at a championship. And so you've got to put star power alongside him. They had the chance to go get James Harden. They went all in. They pounced on that opportunity. And look, this could be painful on the backside. When you're talking about completely unprotected four picks plus four unprotected draft swaps, there's a chance that this could be painful for the Nets long after Durant and Harden's prime is over. But they've got a championship window now, and then they're going to try to seize that opportunity.
ESPN's Tim McMahon here with us on Jhené and Golic Jr. on the Goodyear Hotline, our own ESPN NBA reporter. And Tim, kudos to you, because you've been following the saga, the soap opera, The Young and the Restless happening in Houston. And you know me, I'm from Houston, so I've really followed this with a fine-tooth comb. And I'm just curious, because the GM, Raphael Stone, he's really been thrown in the line of fire in the sense that you have a disgruntled superstar and you have to deliver on making sure the franchise has good foundation moving forward. How would you evaluate Houston's position moving forward here?
Well, obviously, this is entering a rebuilding period for the Rockets, and you know they've got a chance to kind of see what they have now in Victor Oladipo, who had this thing expand to a four-team deal. He ends up in Houston. Obviously, the guy has been an all-star coming off of serious injury, so hey, he'll fit right in there with John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, I guess. But I think as important as anything is, he's an expiring contract, so maybe he gets traded again before the deadline in late March. Maybe it's a situation where that salary just comes off the books and the Rockets are able to, you know, if you're not going to be good, you don't want to be expensive. And so I think that in and of itself could have made Oladipo more attractive to the Rockets than Caris LeVert, who I think the potential, maybe it's similar, but LeVert is owed 36-plus mil over the next 2 years beyond this season. And look, the Rockets gave up a ton of picks, you know, two picks, two swaps to get Russell Westbrook. So they really, when Raphael Stone took over, he was at a huge pick deficit. And now in deals that he's made, they've really stocked up on draft picks, going back to the Covington deal with the Blazers. You know, they got a protected pick back for Russell Westbrook. And now obviously, This trade is all about stocking up on draft picks.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon. And Tim, you mentioned the long-term futures here. When we look back on this, though, the things that led up to James Harden ultimately getting his way out of Houston, what are you going to see as the breaking point for all of this, where it was no coming back from what had gone on, the relationship between Harden and the Rockets?
You know, really, I think when you look at kind of what went wrong to lead to the end of the James Harden era, the Beard era in Houston, it's the Russell Westbrook trade. That was the thing that, and Harden was absolutely a driving force in that. You know, Tillman Fertitta, the owner, was also on board with it. He thought that Chris Paul was a terrible contract. They went all in on it. And then, you know, the old pals getting back together, Harden and Westbrook, didn't work out. And you know, after a season together, they both wanted out. And so it's that trade that kind of, to me, really led to the closing of that chapter, of the Harden chapter in Houston. And then, you know, once James Harden made up his mind this offseason that, look, the Rockets aren't going to be able to compete for a championship, it was just a matter of time. It was a matter of time. It was really when and where, because it was not going to work out in Houston long term when he clearly did not want to be there. And, you know, whether you like it or not, he made it absolutely painfully clear, you know, going back even before training camp started, holding out of training camp and with some of the antics that he's pulled during the season, you know, leading up to last night, he made it painfully clear that he wasn't going to change his mind.
ESPN's Tim McMahon joining us, talking about James Harden now being a member of the Brooklyn Nets. And Tim, you know, it's really interesting when we think about the synergies with Brooklyn, especially now with James Harden being there and Steve Nash being a first-year coach, but also relating to the players because he was one of the greatest players and they sort of respect him. But I have a question here. Do you think that those personalities, the big three in Brooklyn, which I saw, you know, New York, they called it B-Unit. I've already seen the memes happening on social media, but B-Unit. Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, knowing the personalities, and you followed James Harden's personality, how do you see that working out?
It will be absolutely fascinating. I'll put it to you that way. I think history shows that pairing Harden, at least since he's become a face of a franchise since the trade of Houston, pairing Harden with another star, there's an expiration date on that. You know, obviously the big question is how many, you know, how are they going to divvy up shots? How are they going to divvy up who's got the ball in their hands and all that? But really, I think a massive question that I don't know the answer to, and I'm not sure anybody with the Nets knows the answer to, is when will Kyrie actually be a part of this? Will Kyrie be a part of this? I think the uncertainty with Kyrie might have influenced the Nets' decision to go all in on Harden, because you at least want to have one superstar to pair Kevin Durant with. And, you know, whether Kyrie decides to come back and play basketball or not, I think it's pretty clear that you cannot count on Kyrie Irving.
It is fascinating is the nicest way to put it, Tim. We appreciate the time and the info, and I'm sure as this fascinating story continues to unfold, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. How does Kyrie fit into this situation now that James Harden is a member of the Brooklyn Nets? We'll head to New York next and find out. It's Chenea Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenea Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. James Harden, now a member of the Brooklyn Nets. If you haven't heard it, if you haven't seen the Woj bombs, go ahead and tell somebody right now. We've got a new big three in the NBA in Brooklyn. And for more on how that affects New York and really the NBA overall, we head back to the Goodyear Hotliner, joined by Alan Hahn. You can check out Bart and Hahn noon to 2 Eastern on ESPN Radio each and every day here as part of our lineup. And Alan, are you ready for the mess that comes with this big three? Because it certainly feels like a group that's going to be giving of headlines.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see now who becomes the alpha. You know, that's the whole idea of sharing the basketball. You know, that's the challenge now for Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni, everybody on that coaching staff, is how does that work? Because you remember Russell Westbrook wanted to leave Houston, not because he didn't like James Harden, but because he didn't like sharing the basketball with somebody else. That was also a ball-dominant player. Now you got three guys that used to be in ball-dominant. We'll see. But you know what? Maybe it'll be only two, because Kyrie Irving hasn't been around the team, and who knows when he's coming back. And guy, I'll be honest with you, my theory is that the Nets weren't really excited about moving all of this to get a James Harden. They thought, we'd be all safe. We got two stars. We got a nice roster, a good bench. I think we're good. And then you see Kyrie, and we're like, I don't know if I can trust he's going to be around. We want to make sure Kevin's happy and has support. Let's go ahead and make this deal and be all in. Chips in the middle of the table.
We've got a nice family little reunion here on ESPN Radio. Alan Hahn joining us, 12 to 2 Eastern. You can listen to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. And Alan, it's been really interesting hearing what your point is, because everyone always says in the world of basketball, the first thing people say, well, they only have one ball. Can they share? And it's been funny because when you watch the Brooklyn Nets this season, Kyrie and KD, they showed some of that ability working, and they have a coach that really reinforces the message, Steve Nash, share the ball. But do you think that this situation here, now getting James Harden here, do you think that Kyrie Irving would be more inclined to actually return to the team despite his extracurricular activities?
Think about what you just asked me. He's paid $33 million. Would this help him come back and play? Kyrie, will you come play now that we brought James? I mean, it really is amazing where we are, but that is the player, that's the power that NBA players have, that NFL players watch and say, man, I wish we had power like that. The Deshaun Watson, who's also trying to escape from Houston, is probably saying, can I have that kind of power? But that's the reality of the NBA. And I do feel like this is more about they don't know if they can rely on Kyrie. You know, one thing about James Harden, you know, whether you like his game or not, I always liken his game to mumble rap. I know it's art, and a lot of people like it, but it ain't for me. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel. But he's coming to the boom bap now. He's coming to Brooklyn, and he's got to play the way he plays, but he's got to play it with other people. But one thing about James Harden is that, you know, he shows up to play every game. He's a guy that's reliable. One of his best abilities is his availability, and Kevin Durant is the same way. So now you can guarantee to have two stars, and if Kyrie wants to come play, well, he could be part of the party too.
And Junior, before your question, speaking of mumble rap, did you see the thing already floating on social media? B-Unit, New York, B-Unit, do you approve of that?
I don't know. I got to see this all work out. I know KD also dabbles in the studio as well. So we'll see. But we all know. I mean, Brooklyn is the planet. I mean, Brooklyn's where it all. The Bronx might say it originated in the Bronx. We know it was perfected in Brooklyn. So I just got to see how this works out.
It is going to be interesting. Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Alan Hahn. And I'd say this. You mentioned what the ceiling of this working out looks like right now. This is already a team coming into the season that I thought was the best in Eastern Conference.
Agreed.
But, Alan, I'd ask you, does this move now make them the favorite to win the NBA Finals at this point? Are you putting them above Los Angeles?
I'll tell you what. If this was a video game, if we were just playing 2K and you just put these players, they'd have the highest rating. They would have the highest rating in the league. So if it's 2K, yes. But because there's also a human element involved in it, I can't say yes. Because LeBron is still the strongest personality in the league, and Anthony Davis is a scary player, and that's a good roster. So I think they're – I will put it this way. I will put them at 1B, but if it's 2K, that's the best team in the league right now.
I was going to say, it would seem like why is one of us playing on all-star mode right now and the other over here in rookie? This doesn't feel like it is right.
It's like
or
when
fair.
I play against when I play against my son in a game and I'm saying to myself, like, wait, what, how are you doing that? And he was like, oh, I don't know. But meanwhile, he already pulled out some kind of cheat code that he got me on. You know?
Exactly. While I'm over here mashing buttons on all of this one.
Randomly.
Alan, everyone check out Bart and Hahn, noon to 2 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Alan, we appreciate the time today, man. Looking forward to all the headlines to come. We all win today.
Yeah, all the best. Thank you.
it really is true today, Chiney, because it does feel like we're all watching from the outside waiting to see not what's going to happen on the court, because I feel like on the court we all expect these are not only incredible basketball players, but we know incredible the way they see the game. James Harden's got experience working with one of these guys already, but he's so used to a rotating cast of stars. It is purely the off-court drama. Can this group survive their own personalities, all of which at one stop or another, or all of them along the way, have eventually eroded relationships in locker rooms?
And let's be fair here, Junior, because a lot of people will talk about how we got to the point where James Harden got traded, pointing to the videos they saw on social media, pointing to the messages that we just heard from the podium yesterday after their game where he said, hey, I love this city, but look, I feel like we've gone as far as we can go. Literally, I've done everything I can. And he has, to some degree. When he stepped between the lines of the court, what did he do? He transformed from being the OKC Sixth Man of the Year, averaging 16 points per game off the bench for the Thunder, to averaging dang near 35 points per game for the Houston Rockets. So he did a lot of good, even though we're hearing the bad that got him to Brooklyn. But let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. Let's keep it a buck. This man, when he steps on the court, he's here to play. And I feel like the last five games were not indicative of who he was. I think this was more of a let me nudge you so that we get this thing actually done. So he will show up in Brooklyn, and I have full faith that James Harden will play and he will put up points. Guess who will do that as well? Kevin Durant, one of the best players that we've ever seen when it comes to scoring the ball. The freak that is 7 feet tall but can score over anyone, including LeBron James when he has that high release. I mean, he's unguardable, and now he has championship confidence. You pair those two, I think the missing link right now, clearly, is Kyrie Irving, because he's the one that we don't know if he'll hit the floor. But if those two even go out there, I think that this is still a team that can contend as the best in the East.
And you mentioned, you know, the one that's at the center of all this, Kevin Durant right now. Adrian Wojnarowski went on NFL Live, which is something I get to say in the year 2021 when things like this go on, and actually talked about Kevin Durant and his role in all of this.
This is a massive deal all around. Listen, for the Brooklyn Nets to go out and get James Harden, you know, this was something that Kevin Durant very much wanted. He and Harden started talking about this months ago. And listen, with the uncertainty surrounding Kyrie Irving right now, and I think there's still hope, expectation, he returns and plays for this team. Remember, free agency comes back upon you pretty quick in this league. You know, Kevin Durant's in the second year of a four-year deal. And getting Harden, that's another reason for Durant to want to stay. But now, if you get Irving back and he's back to playing at a high level, you have a 1-2-3. Perhaps unlike we've seen in this league in the modern era, but certainly it comes at a steep price.
A steep price that the Brooklyn Nets appeared willing to pay. We talked to Tim McMahon, who said that might hurt them in the long-term future here, devastatingly so, but they're trying to max out that championship window right now. So coming up next, how does a roster get ready to absorb another superstar of this caliber? We'll talk to someone who knows next.
Today in Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Agbumike continuing to react to the James Harden trade to the Brooklyn Nets from the Houston Rockets. A haul of picks go in his wake right now and head to Houston, along with Victor Oladipo. Multiple teams involved in this trade. A lot of moving parts in this. And for more reaction, we head back to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined now by our ESPN NBA analyst and Richard Jefferson with us now. And Richard, you spent time with the Nets, obviously, at the beginning of this career, your career. You know this franchise, and you know what it's like playing with stars. So I'm curious, as this team that already had two big personalities in the locker room gets ready to absorb a third, how do you see this going for the Nets?
Oh, well, hold on, everybody. look, a lot of things have to do with, you know, being in a place that you want to be. And say what you want about James Harden and, you know, maybe whether he's in shape right now. He's been in a situation where he has not wanted to be in that organization for, you know, the past few months. And, you know, I think that a change of scenery is going to be great for him. But he still has to get himself into shape. He's got to get himself into prime physical condition, you know, because that's the only way that you'll be able to see what this team is really and truly capable of doing. But if anything, it's going to be some fun NBA, you know, excitement.
You're right. Richard Jefferson joining us here on Chiné and Golic Jr., NBA champion. Yes, I will say that first. Also former Brooklyn Nets player. Now, Richard, it's really fascinating because I saw what you said yesterday on The Jump, and a lot of people were talking about that, but you were speaking honestly. Do you think that this trio, this new big three in Brooklyn can work? Will it be able to hopefully get Kyrie, you know, this incentive of winning a championship with James Harden and Kevin Durant back on the court? Or do you think that this is a completely different situation happening with Kyrie?
Look, I don't know, and this is the thing. I didn't speak out of turn when I was talking about Kyrie. You break it down from a very simple spot. If Kyrie is not in a place where he wants to play basketball right now, then take time away. Everybody's job allows you to take time away. The first mistake was when they asked Steve Nash, have you spoke to Kyrie? And he's like, no, I haven't spoken to him. I reached out. I hadn't heard back. So that was the first kind of, okay, well, what's going on here? This is different. Then he spoke to Steve Nash, and it was a private conversation that stayed private. My point is this. If you are not in a place to do your job, take time away. Communicate with your team. Your teammates take time away. If that's not what it is, then you have to figure out. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, emotional help, if it's, you know, mental help, whatever help that you need, you know, even if it's just time off. But understand, the basketball season has only been going on for a month. Like, burnout shouldn't start. Kyrie did not play in the bubble. So Kyrie had not played basketball since, I want to say, March, maybe before that. And so, you know, when you start breaking it down and you look at it from that standpoint, you know, I support Kyrie. If he needs time, he needs time off. The issue is when you take time off and there's not communication, or you're at birthday parties, or allegedly, or, you know, you're jumping on Zoom calls, right? Like, all of these things. And the last thing I'll say is this. If Kyrie's heart is not in it because he wants to focus in on social justice, focus in on social justice. WNBA players took time away. Maya Moore took, you know, time off from her career to focus on saving an individual's life. So it's not unprecedented for you to say, like, right now, today, my heart and my mind is not in it. I'm going to take time away and focus in on what I believe, you know, my energy is best spent. But the lack of communication puts the organization, and really it makes the association look, you know, probably not in the best of light.
Chenang Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Richard Jefferson with us here, our ESPN NBA analyst. And Richard, let's just for a second assume that Kyrie Irving does choose to come back and we get to see this big three all together. In a basketball sense, especially considering that James and Kyrie are both guys that handle the ball a lot, how do you see this working, and what concessions, if any, are going to have to be made by these guys in order to make it work the best it can?
Well, let's establish this. Kevin Durant looks amazing coming back from Achilles. James Harden is still James Harden, right? Even though he's not in the best of shape and he looks like he's not motivated, he has still been one of the best scorers in the league and one of the best scorers in the history of this of the NBA. Kyrie Irving, when healthy and playing, one of the best scorers. The issue is that, you know, you got to get Kyrie on the court, or you have to allow him to handle whatever personal situations that he's dealing with. Then, you know, James Harden is not in championship peak form right now, even though he has plenty of time to get there. So there's a lot of layers. This is not the Miami Heat joining up. This is not the Boston Big Three joining up. This is not the Golden State Warriors joining with the Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant when he joined kind of that group. This is a group that has some baggage to it. You know, whether it's, you know, again, Kevin Durant is probably the one individual that you are probably least worried about in this situation, but there's still a lot to be determined. We don't know when Kyrie's playing. We don't know if Kyrie's playing. And there, I want to say communication has been limited. James Harden looks outstanding. You know, like I'm saying, his game is still doing what it does, but he doesn't look the way, and you could tell that his body is not in the shape that he needs. So this is different than a lot of these other big threes. There's a lot more layers that they have to filter through before they can really talk about maximizing their potential.
Chinne Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., Richard Jefferson, former NBA player, NBA champ, here with us on Chinne and Golic Jr. Now, Richard, I'm going to give you a break from Brooklyn for a second, and we're going to go to my roots of Houston. What do you make of Houston's haul, getting, including, you know, Victor Oladipo in the process back with plenty of picks as well?
Look, when you look at what Houston, you know, what they've had the last few years, Western Conference Finals, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, obviously James Harden over this long, long stretch. When you get trades like this, you did get an all-star Victor Oladipo. You did get a guy who was coming back from injury the year before. My thing about Houston is that you won't really get to see the fruits of this trade for probably another 2 or 3 years. You'll be able to go back and look. When you're like, oh, they have, like, you know, 4 pick swaps, they have first-round picks from the Cavs, they have one of the Nets' first-round picks, and, you know, they got all of this talent. But Caris LeVert, Victor Oladipo, that's a lot of talent. That is a lot of talent. Plus, you have all of these assets as far as picks. So I think it looks like they got a ton, but only time will tell. The one thing about getting all of those picks is you got to make sure you pick right.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say, there's something. While picks are great, there is nothing that is quite sexier than putting together a big three that I'll actually win now in this. So I think Brooklyn certainly much more excited about their immediate future. RJ, we appreciate the time and the info, man. I'm sure we'll talk to you
soon, Richard,
as this big three unfolds.
Man, you guys have a great day.
ESPN NBA analyst Richard Jefferson with us here on the Goodyear
Hotline.
Wait,
Junior, you saw how he said, like, man, y'all have a good day. He knows what's coming. We going to be talking for a minute.
Oh, yeah. He knows there is a lot of conversation coming up, and we're going to cue you in on it. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. RJ mentioned the price right there. Do the Nets give up too much, or is there no price to pay for a shot to win a title now? 888-SAY-ESPN.
I thought you were going to say the price is right. Come on now.
I'm gonna save that one. Word to Bob Barker on that one. 888-729-3776. It's bad all around. Save us from ourselves. Do the Nets give up too much? It's Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Janae Gwumike, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're just trying to sit here and figure out how James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving are all going to manage to play nice enough together for long enough together to make what we think could be possible on the basketball court actually happen. But, Janae, I'm happy for you in all this, most of all, because you came into today very frustrated with the Houston Rockets and this entire situation. And now I see you smiling because through all of this, through the massive trade haul that it took to get James Harden to Brooklyn, part of what's come about in this situation is the Houston Rockets, in addition to getting a boatload of picks in the future, also managing to get Victor Oladipo in a deal from the Indiana Pacers. And I feel like now you could really feel a lot better about this.
I'm so excited, and I'm going to shoot my shot here in honor of James Harden, at least, you know, what his legacy was in Houston. I'm going to text Victor and try to see if he hits me back, and I'm going to say, welcome to Houston, and I'll report back if he hits us back within the time of the show.
There we go. We're going to try and do some friendship on this show right now as Janae welcomes Victor Oladipo to her hometown Houston Rockets right now.
Wait, before we get to the callers, I'm going to leave him a voice note. You can hear it.
All right, here we go. This is a voice note. This is a voice note that Janae is sending to newly acquired Houston Rockets guard Victor Oladipo.
Let's go. Here we go, Victor. You're in my hood in H-Town. Congrats. I know it's complicated, but I just want to say I am excited. All right. Appreciate it. I don't know why I said appreciate it.
I am shocked you didn't say Victor. We did it.
Wait, I'm going to throw that in there, too.
Dear God.
We did it, Joe. We did it.
Now that we have officially rolled out the welcome mat to Houston for Victor Oladipo, courtesy of Chinua Agumike's voice memos in this, why don't we get your voices involved? 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN right now on the Goodyear hotline. Let's go to Samir in Nevada. Samir, you're on Chinua Golick Jr. right now. Do the Nets give up too much here?
Hey, Mike, Golick, KCNA. No, I think it was a fair deal. I think it was a fair deal. Like you said, you'll find out more how much beneficial Rockets get from this deal if they bank on those picks. That's the key. And also, on a side note, it would be hilarious if Nets were to trade Kyrie to Washington for Russell Westbrook and to become the Oklahoma City Thunder of the East.
That I can say, see, now this is the galaxy brain type stuff that we need you to bring if you're going to come to 888-729-3776. Because, Janae, who wouldn't want to recreate that famous picture of all of those guys in Oklahoma City jerseys as it slowly dwindled over the years?
We already saw one great recreation happen in the city of Brooklyn, or at least in New York City, when it comes to Sex in the City, which I found out watching Stephen A's World yesterday. That's his favorite show. And I was like, yes, Stephen A. But, like, look, maybe they can recreate, do a nice little reunion like we see the girls getting back together. I'm actually a fan of that. That'd be really funny, but I don't know what's going to happen.
The Brooklyn Nets in the city right now. All right, we've got something in the works right now. Let's go back, 888-729-3776 to Ryan in Texas. Ryan, you're on Chinua Golick Jr. Did the Nets give up too much bringing James Harden to Brooklyn?
I think they gave up too much, and they're getting worse. I think they're getting – it's like going to the grocery store and getting home, and you get all the groceries, and you found like you bought an expired box of Cheez-Its. Shout out for you and Jason Fitz. I just don't think it's going to help their cause.
We appreciate the call and the Cheez-It plug on there right now. Cheez-Its are good for a good long time, so you're good on that front right now. But, Janae, I hear what he's saying because this is the conversation we've been having a lot on this show because Cliff, who's one of our producers, big, big Philadelphia 76ers fan, who, when we talked about what would it take to get James Harden potentially to Philadelphia, And you and I both thought in a lot of instances Ben Simmons might have to be part of that. But you had a longer future, a longer runway with Ben Simmons versus James Harden, who is an older player in this spot. And so I don't know. I don't believe I subscribe to the idea that they got worse in all this. The NBA, you win with stars. And when you add more into the same pot, it might take a while. But eventually, you get at least the sum of their parts, if not more.
I don't know if you remember, Junior. I sort of said this a long time ago. The only way I saw this deal happening is if there was a third party involved. And now we've got four. It's a big party. It's lit. And it's done safely, y'all, through trade. I like
yes,
this here.
Exactly. I can say a social distance party in this instance. But, Chinee, this social distance party also gave us the ability to say something pretty incredible during this time period. As the deal was broke, Adrian Wojnarowski went on NFL Live to break this deal. That is how big we're talking when it comes to all of this right now. Here was our ESPN NBA insider joining up with Dan Orlovsky and the guys over at NFL Live talking about really how this entire deal came together.
This was a deal really that came together in the last couple days, and Philadelphia was very much in pursuit of James Harden. Obviously, Daryl Morey, their president, traded for him in Houston, won a great deal with him. But ultimately, this Nets deal, this package, bringing Cleveland into it, got it done. And I think for Houston, you look at them, remember, they gave up a lot of picks in that Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook deal. They get them back and then some, and it gives the Rockets now, their new GM, Rafael Stone, an ability to start a rebuild. Victor Oladipo's in the last year of his contract. You know, they can see how that goes. Do they want to re-sign him? Does he want to be there? But certainly a blockbuster deal by any standard in the NBA. And it is going to be fascinating to see Harden and Kevin Durant reunited in Brooklyn. Obviously, they played in Oklahoma City together. And then Kyrie Irving likely, potentially, you would expect at some point as part of that mix too.
Chinee Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And if you were ever wondering, how does Adrian Wojnarowski get ready for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs? That is how, right there. And Chinee, I think what this all comes down to is, you and I have both said it, this team, I think, is the favorite in the Eastern Conference and was before this move got made. And their NBA Finals ceiling is going to be based off of when the first thing goes wrong, when they all get back together, if they all get back together with Kyrie Irving in the fold right here, how are they able to manage that situation? Because we've seen when these groups come together, there's always one hurdle you have to overcome, and it's how you do so that dictates how high you go.
It'll be interesting to see how these personalities mesh together, and that's on the stars. It's not on the new coach. So I think the expectations have just gone through the roof for Brooklyn.
Yeah, the expectations. You're right. Steve Nash has simultaneously the hardest job and the easiest job of all time, because nobody is going to blame him for what goes wrong in this spot. That being said, I hope he worked on his peer mediation skills during his time before this, because I have a feeling they might come in handy right now. What else can we expect, not only from the court, but from the boardroom when it comes to this? We'll check in with somebody that knows Kevin Durant well next on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.